small dog searching for aluminum can, and he holds on tight to his dignity.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Francis Causey, who's the co-director and co-producer of a new film, Heist, Who Stole the American Dream? A seasoned investigative journalist, she has emerged as a citizen activist after a 14-year career with CNN as a producer, news editor, and senior member of a team honored with News and Documentary Emmy Awards for team coverage of both the Olympic Park and Oklahoma City bombings in 1995 and 1996. Additionally, she directed the Wendell Scott story, which appeared on the History Channel and the Turner Networks. And she's recently honored with the Women's International Film and Television Jury Award for her work on Heist. Welcome to Background Briefing, Francis Causey.
Thanks for having me.
And the film, I mean, the New York Times have said that the virtue of this film is that it gives you a long view of the crisis that recent films like Inside Job and Too Big to Fail have only sketchily explored. And it makes, of course, a strong case that government regulation of business is essential for our democracy. Was that your idea in taking this on, to follow on from these important films like Inside Job and Too Big to Fail?
Well, actually, we started, my co-director, Donald Goldmacher, and I started almost 6 years ago. And so we were on the story, kind of, I think, probably well before Inside Job, although I don't know that for sure. I don't know when he started, but Charles did. But what we wanted to do, Ian, more importantly, is rather than pick off, cherry pick, you know, one aspect of kind of the calamity that had befallen the country, like the financial crisis, we really wanted to connect the dots for our viewers of the history of kind of where we've been, where we are now, and, you know, how we got there, and maybe more importantly, kind of where we're going. So our film really goes much deeper than looking at one part of the crisis. For instance, we look at the history of starting in 1973 with the Powell memo, and gradually how this plan by, you know, kind of an ultra extremist kind of group took their money and kind of set about to shape policy, to kind of, you know, very small number of people controlling the economy for their own personal gain. And, of course, in the process, that was outsourcing and, you know, manufacturing flight, and that is the impact on the middle class. And so I think our film is really the first to do that, to really connect the dots for people.
Well, again, I'm speaking with Francis Causey, the co-director and co-producer of the new film Heist, Who Stole the American Dream? But in many ways, though, you dig into how this was achieved politically. One of the people in your film is the father of Reaganomics and a key Clinton economic advisor, Alan Blinder. So, I mean, the film itself, of course, is replete with a lot of people that I've spoken with regularly on my radio show, U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders, David K. Johnston, Robert Kuttner, historian Gar Alpovitz, Van Jones. I had him on yesterday, as a matter of fact, Francis.
Right, great.
So let's start with Alan Blinder. Give us a sense of how this was achieved politically, this heist, this coup, where the 1% took over America and downsized the middle class and an impoverished working America.
Well, for instance, I mean, Blinder's a great example. And we connected with Dr. Blinder because he had written a paper in 2005 for the Council on Foreign Relations where he talked about this third industrial revolution where all of the, and he actually says, and I'm kind of amazed this doesn't elicit more reaction from our audiences, but he says in the film, you know, because of broadband, you know, we're going to lose another 30 to 40 million jobs. And these are white-collar jobs. And so he talks about, but what's ironic is, you know, we say to him, you know, have you ever actually talked to a displaced worker? And he, you know, he's very matter of fact about it. And this is a man who was, you know, vice chairman of the Fed under, you know, in the Clinton administration. And he, you know, he calls himself a, you know, all economists are free marketers, he says. And this is somewhat of the problem because, you know, we've looked at everything through this free market fundamentalism prism for so long, you know, things like comparative advantage. Well, comparative advantage was working for a while. I mean, you know, the country was under that for a while, where the idea that, you know, we do well at certain things and other countries do well at certain things and we each kind of do our own thing. Well, they've basically outsourced all of the things that we were particularly good at. So these kind of old economic principles, you know, people claim that we still have those, but if you actually look at what's happened with the country, we've had a huge amount of outsourcing and deregulation that has led to, you know, pretty much open season on the American middle class.
Well, as your film, Francis Causey Heist, Who Stole the American Dream, points out, the plan really got underway, even though it was hatched in 1971, it really got underway with the presidency of Ronald Reagan. And the first thing out of the gate that Ronald Reagan did was shut down PATCO, the Air Traffic Controllers Union, and basically busted the union. And it's interesting that just a few days ago, Scott Walker, who just won the recall battle in Wisconsin, made an address on Ronald Reagan's 100th birthday, I think, saying that on this day, of course, we all remembered how Ronald Reagan took on the air traffic controllers, and
yeah, I mean, it was really clear. I mean, once they in 1978, you know, they went after the unions. Orrin Hatch gave that filibuster speech that, you know, business outspent organized labor, or something like 10-1. And so by 1978, they had already begun to really go after unions. And this is clear. Jeff Foh says it from the Economic Policy Institute. He says it beautifully in the film. You know, there's just no doubt that when Reagan came in, unions and the power and economic might of the middle class was a target.
Well, it's interesting. In today's New York Times, there's a full-page ad, a picture of Richard Trumka, that making him look like some sort of Mussolini-type demon, saying, right, why is this man so angry? And basically, it's an appeal by some amorphous pro-business group to union workers, saying your unions have betrayed them in Wisconsin, they've wasted your money and your dues, etc., and we need to reform unions. So it's not as if they're satisfied with a victory in Wisconsin. They really want to destroy the unions, and after all, you know, the union membership has dwindled to 1 out of 14 from 1 out of 3 in the 1950s.
Right, and this is a really important point. What's one of the main mandates of unions? It's educating their membership on the current legislative issues, keeping their membership informed, and the ultra right. I mean, this faction of the right of the GOP understood that. They understood that that's how you disempower people, and you also do it. Probably one of my more favorite parts. I'm an exile from corporate news, being a former CNN producer. Probably one of my more favorite parts of the film is our segment on media. So we went from 50-something companies in the late 80s, early 90s. We now have 6 companies that control all of the content that people watch on their television, see in the theaters, and they understood this. You control the message, and they've so gutted the news gathering capability of journalists to actually go out. I mean, you can't make a living anymore and actually tell important stories. It's very difficult. Even in an Obama White House, if you ask a tough question, you get your credential pulled. So, and the news gathering operations have just solely become money-making machines. And so there are 6 companies right now. And what that's done is created this kind of acquiescence. I mean, it used to be that they kind of stretched the truth. Now they just tell out-and-outright lies because nobody holds them accountable, for asking those questions.
Again, I'm speaking with Francis Causey, the co-director and co-producer of the new film, Heist, Who Stole the American Dream, A seasoned investigative journalist, she has emerged as a citizen activist after a 14-year career with CNN as a producer, news editor, and senior member of the team, honored with news and documentary Emmys for team coverage of both the Olympic Park and Oklahoma City bombings in 1995 and 1996. Well, interesting, Frances, what you were just telling us is very much echoed by this billionaire, Nick Hanauer, who's the first non-family investor in Amazon. He recently gave a talk to TED, which they kept on the shelf because they didn't want to release it. They thought it was too controversial in an election year. And out of the mouths of a capitalist, he's saying that this is a myth about these giving tax breaks to billionaires. They're the job creators. If that were true, we'd be drowning in jobs at the moment, and that capitalists don't want to hire people. And the only reason that they hire people is because there's a demand for their products. And until there's a demand for products, and until the middle class in this country has money in their pocket to buy products, the economy is going to stagnate. And, you know, it's just so logical. But, boy, I don't see that narrative out there. You know, but for a handful of billionaires that aren't the worst of the 1%, you know, what the hell's wrong with the Democrats and the president? Why can't they come up with a narrative to counter this ludicrous canard?
Well, I mean, the issue, of course, it all comes back to money. I don't know how many politicians you know. I've known a few, and they really all want to be, for one thing, primarily, which is to be reelected. And David K. Johnston had a great piece up on Reuters. As you know, he's in the film, and he's dynamite. The IRS numbers, you know, are out, and there were six families who made over $200 million last year that did not pay 1 cent in taxes. So what you have is this. Well, this is another thing I think Americans have a hard time understanding. We've had such a transfer of wealth on such a large scale that really, you know, a tiny fraction of the country holds all of the key to policy and to lawmaking. I mean, we ostensibly are a country of laws, but Citizens United. What better example do you have of how one person, a casino owner in Las Vegas, could resurrect the candidacy of Newt Gingrich? I mean, it's very scary. But by the way,
Frances.
Go ahead.
I was just going to, don't mean to interrupt, but I have actually quite a different take on that. Sheldon Adelson's best friend, and literally this guy worships Netanyahu. He set up a Fox network in Israel dedicated to promoting Netanyahu, and he also publishes a free newspaper in Israel that's dedicated to Netanyahu. The point being that Adelson helped split the anti-Romney vote by funding Newt Gingrich, and Gingrich and Santorum's vote was split, thus allowing Romney to get the nomination. The point is that it turns out, according to the New York Times, it did some investigative piece on this, that Netanyahu and Romney have been friends since the 1970s, and they're very close. So it doesn't take more than an inquiring mind to figure that if Romney's best friend is one of his best friends is Netanyahu, and if Adelson's worships Netanyahu, it's not difficult to understand that they may have been actually working for Romney, not for Gingrich. That's my point.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay.
I mean, this is one individual. I mean, let's remember, this is, there are a lot of sub-themes and a lot of things that we could talk about, but this is really about restoring our democracy.
Right.
That's what it ultimately is about. And I think if people, I don't think Americans want to believe that this is what we've, you know, become, because I think in many ways Americans think they too can be an Adelson or a, you know, and what they've done is they've stolen the ladder and the rungs to the ladder, and that's a very difficult thing for people to understand that is where we are, which is what Gar Alperovitz says so well in the movie. I mean, we have the most corruption in our country that we've had in 100 years, and Crandall says it beautifully. People don't want to believe this, but votes are bought.
Right.
And the way that we do that, you know, the way that we, I think, get out and show our displeasure. First, we have to understand, which is why we made the movie, and then we have to mobilize it, which is why I'm at, you know, Netroots Nation, you know, meeting with organizers, urging them to use the film. The film is available. If you go to heist-themovie.com, we have made it turnkey for activists, for groups, for unions, to use the film. And because I think we have to break through this kind of deer in the headlights. I think, you know, people are really struggling to understand what's gone on, and that's why I'm proud of the film that Donald and I made, because it just really is that in-depth TikTok kind of, you know, we really spent a long time making sure we got it right. And people can get it in one sitting in 75 minutes.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today. I know you're busy at the Netroots convention, but we're very grateful for your film, Frances.
Well, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Again, I've been speaking with Frances Causey. She's the co-director and co-producer of the new film, Heist, Who Stole the American Dream? She's a seasoned investigative journalist and has emerged as a citizen activist after a 14-year career with CNN as a producer, news editor, and senior member of the team honored with news and documentary Emmys for team coverage of both the Olympic Park and Oklahoma City bombings in 1995 and 1996. And she recently was honored by the Women's International Film and Television Jury Award for her work on Heist. This has been Background Briefing. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.